James chapter 1 has kind of been something I've been looking at and meditating on a lot here lately. Sometime we go over some things and, you know, we'll study them and look at them. And I've preached on this before. But then there's sometimes we go back because we live in it. And we look and see, you know, what's going on, what's God doing. But he's going to kind of turn this a little bit tonight, a little bit different than what I've ever dealt with before, I believe. But we'll get started here and see how he goes. And James chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And verse 5, I always kind of dropped it off while I was looking at this one section here, but it actually goes along with it. It said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That upbraideth means to defame or to rail at or chide or taunt. He said he wouldn't do that. So just go ahead and take the liberty to ask him. And whenever you're going through trials and temptations, you need wisdom. You can get in more trouble in them areas of your life because as human nature, we want to try to figure things out. And we get in trouble when we do that. I've done that. I'm guilty. And you know what? Our government system did not learn lessons from the Lord as far as tests go. They say, well, we'll just go ahead and boot you on up anyhow. You know, get you out of our way. The Lord said, no, you didn't pass. You're going to start back over. And that gets rough after a while. And it looks like we had learned a little bit better than we do, but we're hard-headed people. That's just the honest facts. We're just hard-headed. So I know I am. And so we have to do these things again. But we'll pray, and then we'll see how the Lord will. Lord, we do pray, dear God, again, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings and benefits. Thank you, dear God, for this place, for this church. Pray, God, you'd bless, Lord, give wisdom, give discernment, dear God, to know your perfect will. Pray, God, as I submit myself unto thee, dear God, that you just use me, speak through me, that it's not me. I'm not worthy to be here, but you're worthy. So I pray, Lord God, just help us.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way. In Jesus. We look here in this passage. Well, first of all, I'd like to say on behalf of Dennis and Mary that was with us. If you're around them much, you know that, you know, they differ. They just hillbillies, pretty much. But we met them, and well, actually we met them at a church when we moved back to South Georgia. And they just, the Lord just put us together. We bonded. He was our her, if you would. He was there. And so they... I don't know. A lot of places don't accept folk like that too good. But they really loved it here.
Amen.
And when we left here Wednesday night, they came over Wednesday night, and we left. They said that was the friendliest people.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And we appreciate
that.
You take them some places and folk don't want to be around them. But they're some of the sweetest people.
Sure.
They sat over for a year without running water in their house, giving money to help other people. That's just the type of people they are. So anyhow, I wanted to make that mention there. They really was impressed and loved this place. And she kept mentioning that's some of the sweetest people at that church. So You never know who you're going to run into and what kind of influence you're going to make on their life. But anyhow, here's what we see is he's talking about this, these temptations and these trials. This is not a temptation as far as being enticed. We know that tests draw you to God and temptations will draw you away from God. And he said in verse 13, he said, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. And that's talking about being enticed of God. That's speaking of fleshly temptations. But this up here about the trying of your faith. As you look at these words, and I love word studies, and he's saying here this word trying means that testing. By implication, it's talking about trustworthiness. He's putting you to the test to see how trustworthy your faith is. And there's a lot of people that ain't in church tonight. You know how many, I seen a breakdown on the Muslim faith and how many people are going into Muslims from other religions and so forth. You know, there's a host of them leaving Baptist churches going over into the Muslim faith. And there's a lot of women that's getting into the Muslim faith. Why? Well, they've never found trustworthiness in their faith. Not that this anything's wrong with the Word of God or the truths of God, but they've never been put to the test and been grounded in it. They don't know. They've never really gone through to find out exactly what is God. Not just who he is, but what he is. Why does he do what he does? And we can't explain all that, but hey, if you're saved by the good grace of God, you can count on some trying coming in, some trials coming into your life. It's going to happen. So the first thing to do is just expect it. It's good for you. You need it. I need it. It's not pleasant. We don't really love it. But you know what? He said we need to expect it because it's going to come and it's going to help us in our life. So just go ahead and expect it's going to come and then go ahead and embrace it. Just go ahead and let God do what he's going to do. See, back when we was in South Georgia, I was working, I had to do a minimum of 50 hours a week on my job where I was at. And then I had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, and services. And then I was spending anywhere from 30 to 40 plus hours a week in study and in prayer and trying to visit, trying to be with my wife, trying to be with my daughter. And I was wore out. I'm going to tell you, I was just getting wore out. I'd done this for a few years, and I was just tired. And the Lord said, told me on a Sunday morning early, woke me up. I went there to pray, and he said, you're going to lose your job this week. I did. And I'm thinking, I said, all right, I got a wife and a daughter. Got a house payment, got a car payment. Lord, I got to do something. So I started getting my tools up. Said, hey, I'm a contractor by trade. You can always find something to do doing that. So sure enough, something come up, and the Holy Ghost said, leave it alone. I said, God, you don't understand. Can you imagine that? You ever done that? Say, God, you don't understand. I got a wife and young that really love to eat, and they love this roof being over their head, and they love clothes, they, you know. And you know what? I'm pretty partial to it myself. I've got to go. I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wasn't getting anything from that. So there wasn't nothing there to really sustain us. And so Monday morning, I got up, I done my devotions, done my prayer time, grabbed up some of my tools, walked out the door, sounded like a rifle went off. Man, it was horrible, pain. They got me to the hospital, and they checking my ankle out. It looked like a softball or a baseball sticking out the side of my ankle. And the doctor come in, she said, you've torn every ligament and tendon in your ankle. I stepped off of the concrete pad. It was about an inch drop and done that kind of damage. I really think it was an angel sitting there and just kicked my ankles, what I believe. don't go. You know what I done? I failed the test. So for 13 weeks, I couldn't walk. They was wanting to do surgery. I wouldn't let them. I've seen what they get them people up, make them walk after surgery, and I said, y'all ain't touching me. And for 13 weeks, I had to suffer that thing, couldn't walk. And boy, did we go through it. I mean, she wasn't working a job. I mean, she was homeschooling. She had her own, she had plenty to do without having to get a job. But, you know, God still brought us through it. We still had to lose some things because we failed the test. So guess what? We're doing it again. We go through the test again. So it's a whole lot better to begin with if we expect it, but then just go ahead and embrace it. Embrace what's coming. If you know that you're in the perfect will of God, just go ahead and embrace it. Examine it. Be sure you are in the perfect will of God. And then examine what's coming and examine the storm, examine the trial, and find out, Lord, one of my cousins, he's a pastor down there below Tifton. He said, when them storms come, he said, I hit my knees and start praying, Lord, show me what I need to learn and show me quick. Show me quick. I want to learn it quick. I don't want to have to go through it again. I don't want to have to linger in it. I want to get it done quick. But we need to examine it and see what it's about, and then we do need to endure it. Just go ahead and ride it out. God knows what he's doing, so ride it out. And there's more in through there to talk about, but there's some things, though, that we learn through the trying of our faith, that trustworthiness of our faith. Why do we stand for it? Do we really believe what we say? Do we really believe? Hey, when the preacher gets up and preaches it, and we sit there and we listen, and then we go out, you know, do you really believe what he preached? Do I really believe what I'm preaching? We have to face those things, and we have to be able to give an account for those things. And Paul talks about being able to give a testimony, to be able to stand on what we're talking about, what we're proclaiming. Do we believe it? We say that you can trust God, but can you? Oh, I can trust God. I mean, hey, and then the bank account gets low. Are you worrying? Are you stressed? Well, yeah. All right, then you ain't trusting God. I'm living it. Okay. I'm living it. So I understand. I know what we're going through. And so we want to endure it, and we want to get through it, that we learn what we need to learn as we're going through it, because you know what? And my daughter's not, she's out yonder, but I was talking in the prayer room Sunday, some things that God's done for us here lately. And we've never hid anything from Heavenly. She's just always in the middle of everything. And so I got to thinking, I said, Lord, do we need to let her? And then I thought, you know, how's she going to know later on in life? If she thinks, if we hide all the bad stuff from our kids, and then when are they growing up and they're going through some trials of their own, how are they going to know what to do? How can they look back and say, you know what? Mom and Dad went through this, and this is what they've done. This is how God brought them through it.
Amen.
See, it's a testimony for our children to get to experience these things also. And she's got to experience here in the last couple of weeks. We was out there just praying about some things, and we were walking, and what I mean, it's just how God does it. Car pulls up, boom, everything we was praying about is there.
Amen.
She's there. She's looking at it. She's looking, you know, and she goes running back to the house. Mama, guess what?
Yeah.
So she got to experience it too.
Amen.
So she sees it. So you know what? And later on, whenever she's going through things in her life, when she gets married, Lord, she gets married and she's going through things, she'll be able to look back and say, you know what, we don't need it. We just need to pray. This is what Dad done, this is what Mom done, and this is how God answered it. I was there, I saw it. So we can endure those things to look at them. But this is what I'm trying to get to here. As we see these things in our life, as we go through these experiences in life, it's not because God wants to beat us down or keep us down. It's that he's trying to develop us. He's trying to solidify in our hearts that, you know what, we can trust him. He is trustworthy. He will do what he said he'll do. You know, what really got me several years ago, I was sitting in a meeting down in South Georgia, and Brother Bobby Robertson was there, and he was preaching. And it was right just a couple years before Dr. Lee Robertson passed away. He and Brother Steve were there, and they were talking with him. Brother Steve asked him, he said, if you was to start your ministry off again, or if it was something that you could go back and change in your ministry, what would it be? And the answer nearly about took me off my seat. He said, I'd learn to trust God. And when he said that, I was really, I mean, if I'd have been standing up, I'd have hit the floor. Because when I thought of it, whenever he said that, I began to think of all the things that he got accomplished in his life. And I thought, if he had a problem with that, where am I at? How far down am I? Where's my trustworthiness in God? If he had a problem there, if he said, I wish I could go back and change that, I wish I could improve my trust in God and trusting him more, then, Lord, help me. Where do I stand? But then I got to look in some things here in the scriptures as Paul and others begin to write. He said here in Romans chapter number 4, verse number 20, and he got to say these things because we know how that these men lived. We know what they went through, the trials that they had to go through, the sufferings that they had to go through. He said here in verse number 20 of chapter 4, he said that he staggered, talking about Abraham, he said, stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, he said he was persuaded of it. That's persuaded means that he was convinced to fully know. He wasn't guessing. A lot of times, you know what, we look at people and they say, how's God going to, I don't know. But you know, whenever we've gone through it ourselves and we've lived it ourselves, then we can stand there and tell them, hey, look, I don't know exactly how he's going to bring you through, but let me tell you something. I know firsthand he will bring you through.
Amen.
That's why I love these, like Brother Garland Odom and some of these, I love to sit around and just listen to them talk. They get talking about going down the roads, what God's brought them through and how he brought them through it in the darkest hour of their life and how God just brought them through. Well, he said that he promised us that he would. He said that here, that he said, I am persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. A lot of people promise you a lot of things and they can't come through with it. But God has never failed to be able to come through with one. Solomon said this. He said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Hey, we find out some promises of God. What about the provisions that he's promised in Matthew 6? We get worried to death about things. I'm going to tell you something. We've been through it here lately. I'll just tell you, we've been through it. Didn't know how in the world things were going to be met, but I'm going to tell you, my shirt's a little tight. Brother Nix is having to go on a diet he done put on. But I ain't going to go further than that. And we've been together the last couple of weeks. We've ate good.
Amen.
Didn't know where things were going to come through from. Didn't know how God was going to provide it. But you know what? God said, I will provide it.
Sure.
And we've ate good.
Amen.
I've had to back up. Today they was talking about, y'all want dessert? I'm like, no. Don't need any dessert. Just give me, I need water. Because God's been good. God has fulfilled his promises and his provisions over and over and over. In that time, whenever I was down, didn't have a job. I'm 3-4 services a week, and I had two, maybe three suits. And I'm in there praying about a car payment. Lord, I need this car payment. I need this. I mean, this ain't just a want, undoubtedly it was. But I didn't get the car payment. But I was in there praying. The phone rang, and this woman said, what are you doing? Well, I was in there in my study praying, and she said, what's Leslie doing? And Evanly, I said, they doing schoolwork. She said, Mama, can I just tell him? And she said, yeah. So she said, can y'all come to the house? Mama wants to take you to Joseph A. Banks and buy you some suits.
Amen.
Sure, we can come right over.
Amen.
Sure. Needed them bad. Bought me 3 suits. Went to the mall, bought me shirts, ties, yeah. Handkerchiefs. It's probably one of them. Took my wife and daughter to the mall, bought them stuff.
Amen.
It wasn't exactly what I was praying for, but it was something I was in desperate need of. God said, don't worry about that. I'll clothe you. He said, hey, his provisions, he's provided. The boots I'm wearing, that was a provision of God.
Amen.
Somebody else bought them, thank God. His provision, then his presence. He said, lo, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
He said in Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he's with us all the time, even in the darkest hours of our life. He's there.
Yeah.
He's there. By faith, we know that he's with us. He said he would be with us. He promised that he would be with us.
Yeah.
So he's with us. And then not only his presence, but his persons. That's different. That's two different things. His presence is with us always, but that persons, that power, that relationship, that close, that bonding in that relationship, that's a whole different ballgame. It's conditional. He talks about it there in James 4:8. He puts that burden on us. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. He's also told us in 2 Corinthians there in 6:17, he talks about there that he would accept us, that he would bring us in. And he's talking about there about that relationship with us there. It's his favor. There's a difference in just his presence and in his persons. There's that bonding that goes on there. And we learn that. But then also his protection. He's promised us. Psalm 91. Well, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. His protection that's there. We witnessed that tonight. You get out here on this road, you see the black marks. It looks like he come in. We've seen the whole side of his truck, his van coming straight toward us. And within just a few feet, it caught and come around, and there's a horseshoe that goes all the way around us. There's black marks in front of us, and then he winds up behind us. God took him and just put him all the way around us. Totaled his vehicle, totaled the other vehicle, and we right there in the middle of him. Not a scratch on our car. The police went up there, and he's looking. He looked at the black marks, and he's looking at the car. So he said, y'all wasn't hit? No, sir. So he got up there, and he got a closer look on the car looking. He said, no, y'all wasn't hit. I know. God kept his word.
Amen.
Pray every day, Lord, keep that hedge of protection around about us.
Amen.
Keep that hedge of protection around my wife and my daughter. Keep us safe, Lord. And he can do that. And you know how we know that? Because we go through trials. We go through things in our life. We go through things like tonight. They're taking one off in an ambulance, and the other ones are, that poor woman probably needed to be when one of her nerves was just tore up. But, yeah, he just took him right around us. He was just, we could just see it in slow motion. I'm telling you, it was just the hand of God.
Amen.
Hey, we know we're persuaded of his promises. We're persuaded of his love.
Yeah.
In Romans in chapter number 8, 35 through 39, here he also says that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now look here. Here's 10 powerful forces. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Brother Tom Sexton was preaching there, and we got to go and hear him. And he started out by saying this. He said, just repeat after me. God loves me.
Amen.
And he said, let's do it a little faster. Then say it a little faster. Everybody in church saying, God loves me. He said, that's one truth right there that you can hold on to the rest of your life. God loves you. God loves me. Whenever we don't think that he does, when we think nobody loves us, whenever we think that we've messed up so bad that we are just completely unlovable, God loves us. Hey, an outline here, he said in John 3:16, for God so loved. That so loved in John 13:1 is unchangeable. For he said, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In Jeremiah 31:3, that so loved is everlasting. For the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That so loved is a constraining love in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said, for the love of God, of Christ constraineth us. That constrain means to compress, to hold together. He constraineth us. It's also boundless in its scope from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. He said, whosoever will. He died for all. That brings us to Matthew 2:26-39. His love is proven. He said in John 15:13, he said, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. It's a proven love. And so the writer, he's able to say, I am persuaded. All these forces. And whenever you look at these words and you study these, I mean, this power's right here. He's talking about these power, nor powers. Those powers are those miraculous powers. He said, they can't separate. They can't touch God's love with me. They can't do anything. Death. Death is a powerful force. But guess what? He said, that can't separate me from the love of God. Life. There's a lot of stuff goes on in life. It can't separate us from the love of Christ. Hey, then he said, I am persuaded of his ability. As we find in 2 Timothy, as he writes here in verse 8-12 in chapter 1, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, neither of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, can't nothing get us away from him. Nothing can separate us from him. Nothing is able. There ain't another power on the earth or around earth or anywhere that's more powerful than our God. And he's able to overcome anything. He said in John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. So we in his hand, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. What can we do? One guy wasn't sold on that. He just couldn't. Brother Rufus Edmondson kept talking to him. He was a black man. He said, I just don't know about that eternal security. I just don't know about all that. And he kept talking to him. And he said, one day, he said, the guy was flagging me down. He said, I pulled over. Said he was all excited. He said, I got it, preacher. I got it. He said, what? He said, that eternal security thing. He said, I done read over there, well, no man can pluck me out of God's hand. And said, he ain't doing no plucking. Nobody else can pluck either. So he said, I'm eternally secure, all in the hand of Jesus. Hey, he said, I'm persuaded. Persuaded. I have no doubt. He said, I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind, in my heart, that God will do exactly what he said he'd do. How did he say that? Well, right over there we just dealt with in that sufferings. in those trials, in those deep, dark days, he found God to be faithful.
Amen.
You know, Brother Ralph Sexton, he was one of my heroes. I love Brother Sexton. He said he preached for 7 years on faith, the darkest time of my life. He said, God never touched me. God never anointed me. God never, I never felt the presence of God for 7 years. Until that one night, he went down into the basement of a church where he got up to preach, and he said, God, I've gone as far as I can go. You've got to show up. You've got to help me. He said, I heard some footsteps coming behind me, and I felt that hand reach down and touch me on the shoulder. He said, I looked up so I couldn't see him, but I could feel him, and he has been there ever since. Hey, he took him through those times, but he had to learn through them dark years just who God was. And then at the time appointed, God showed up and done what he done. If you know anything about Ralph Sexton Sr., what a man of God. I mean, he just had a touch like nobody else. But we had to learn through those trials. How do I know God's going to take care of me? Why am I not laying there at nighttime just stressed out in this time that most of the time I would have been? Because I've learned through the years that God's going to be there.
Amen.
I've been praying about this too for a little while. I said, Lord, how can I preach it if I don't really know it? That's a dangerous prayer. So I don't recommend it. But really and truly, I mean, how can we? Pastor, how can we get up here and assure somebody else? Or how can we even go out there in the world and witness into somebody and they bring up something? How can we stand there and dogmatically tell them, yes, God is able. God is true. God will perform that work that he said he would if we hadn't learned it. There's some things that we got to learn. But I'm glad he's been found faithful. David said, once was young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. That's just one. You just go through the Bible. We've been in this cold snap. We've been making the best of it. I made it through the first four books and through four or five of the minor prophets, trying to break that up. Get you some Alexander Scorby if you have to. But the best way you can find out the testimonies of God outside of living it is get in here and read behind these men that did. And it'll help you, Pastor.